What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where you can hear the life stories behind the people on social media. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. And today is a takeaways episode. And if you're new here, what a takeaways episode is where I sit down and I talk to you about the most recent podcast episode of the week. And today, we're discussing my conversation with Alessandro Bogliotti. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the full podcast yet, make sure you pause this and go back and listen to my interview with Alessandro right now. But I do respect your time. So if you don't have time to listen to a 90-minute interview, let me give you a quick rundown on who Alessandro is. He's the CEO and co-founder of the Influencer Marketing Factory, which is one of the top influencer marketing agencies on the planet. They started the agency, I believe they hit seven figures in their first year, mainly off the back of TikTok. They're one of the first movers. The Influencer Marketing Factory was one of the first movers into TikTok space for influencer marketing. They were able to get a lot of high-level clients as a result. You know, they've worked with Google, Sony Music, Universal Music, Warner Music Group, Bumble, Snapchat, and more. And so Alessandro was a co-founder and CEO of that company. And I was fortunate enough to get him on the podcast. I wanted to give him a shout out for coming on the show. You know, we recorded the podcast on a Friday night. If you watched the video version on YouTube, you can see the sun slowly set until it is just blackout behind Alessandro, because he was recording. And his backdrop was New York City, which was gorgeous, by the way. His backdrop was much nicer than my beige wall with my yellow lights. Alessandro, I just wanted to give him a shout out for sticking through a 90-minute interview with me on a Friday evening. You know, sometimes I just want to peel that curtain back a little bit too, because you don't always get to see those things when it comes to the podcast. You don't get to see when we're recording these interviews and like the scheduling and all the stuff that goes into releasing a 90-minute interview. And so sometimes I like to peel that curtain back, not just for the work I'm doing, but for Alessandro for being there. We said Friday at 4 p.m. we've chatted till probably just before 6 o'clock, you know, all things considered, 90-minute interview, a little bit of post-chat, pre-chat. It was a long time. So I just want to appreciate him for starting, kicking off his weekend behind the microphone with me. So I appreciate him. But it was a really fun conversation. You know, we had a lot of stuff. We could have dove into so many other things. And I'm trying to be a little bit more, I don't know if the word like, not specific, but like narrow with my interviews. Cause sometimes I feel like cover someone's life story, we cover a lot of different topics. And so I recently posted on YouTube, my interview with Adam Ferris from last week. And I broke it into two different videos on YouTube, because if you come in for like in last week's case, if you come in for the video with Adam, where we talk about TikTok, the first half hour where we talk about student entrepreneurship and the businesses he started in college might not necessarily be applicable to you. And so the reason it is, because obviously for keywords and stuff and for retention and all that stuff's important. So I'm trying to make my interviews more focused. So we might be moving away slightly from the entire life story, maybe obviously touching it on a little bit, a couple early questions to build credibility. We still stuck around half an hour on Alessandro's backstory today. But that last hour, we really just stuck in that influencer marketing pocket, which makes sense. That's his expertise, you know? And so I really want to make sure we can dig deeper into the expertise of the guests we have on the show and not just focus on talking kind of surface level on everything they've done, maybe picking one thing and digging deeper, you know, and then that leaves the door open for repeat interviews. You know, I had a whole section in my notes to ask Alessandro. Knowing I'm trying to be a little bit more narrow with these interviews, I didn't end up really diving into those questions. I kind of mentioned at the end about just how he structures his agency and how the agency model is broken and how they're fixing it. And that could have been a whole separate podcast. And hopefully it will be one day. Maybe we'll get Alessandro back on the podcast to talk about how they've structured their company from a business perspective. But we really stuck in that. I tried to, at least for that last hour, stick in that influencer marketing space, you know, probably 45 minutes with some of those wrap up questions and stuff. But I was very happy with the interview. You know, I had a good time talking with Alessandro. And so let's get into some of these takeaways that I have, you know, and as I just go into a tangent about a lot of being influencer marketing based, I still had a takeaway from the beginning and from the end where we weren't talking influencer marketing specifically. But enough of me rambling away here. You know, we're trying to get these takeaways done in under 20 minutes for you. Like I said, I respect your time. This is supposed to be a digestible chunk. So I'm going to try and burn through these as fast as I can here for you so you can get back to your day, whatever you're doing. I hope you're having a great commute or workout right now, wherever you're tuning in from. But the first takeaway that I had was the advantages of bootstrapping. You know, and we talked about this in the beginning of the podcast, how, you know, they haven't taken VC money. they haven't taken any investment. You know, they have people knocking on their door trying to, but they haven't. And, you know, and that could very much be from part of his upbringing growing up in Italy, you know, where there isn't really investors. He said, you know, if you get a $300,000 check in Italy, you're making the news versus here. If you do a $300,000 round, that's almost viewed as like a negative thing because it's not enough money, you know, and fundraising and VC money and all that stuff. It's glamorized here in North America and Canada, the US. And there are advantages to doing it that way, of course. But I, you know, as someone who grows up here, you know, you always think about starting a company, getting investment, da, 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 all this stuff. But Alessandro laid out some pretty compelling arguments for bootstrapping and how they approach bootstrapping. You know, when you grow, when you get all this VC money, you get a lot of money really fast. And so now you go from someone who maybe has never had $2 million in the bank account, never ran a company, never had $2 million in the bank account. Now you're trying to run a company with $2 million in the bank account. How do you execute on that properly? You have no idea. You haven't built up with that money. That money's just been handed to you. Now you have to kind of play catch up with the money you've received. And so sometimes you grow too quickly, you know, talk about like sometimes there's technical debt or just like organizational debt where you grow so quickly that there's things inside your organization that are broken. Then you have to go back once you're scaled and try and fix those things. And it can just be a nightmare. But with bootstrapping, you only grow as you, the entrepreneur and your company, reach those heights. And so you don't hire, in Alessandro's case, you don't hire it's the two co-founders. You don't hire that third person until you're making enough money that everyone can get paid. Now you can bring that person on. And you don't add different elements of the business until all like they're focused on profitability and not fundraising. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, there's a lot of companies right now who are just focused, they got that VC money and they're in the red. They're not making money right now, but they're able to offset those costs with the VC money. And obviously there's an argument for that model as well, like I said, but I think that bootstrapping, you know, you're focused on profitability. You're only growing as your company grows. You're growing when you as the entrepreneur are going to be more ready for that growth because you've stair-stepped your way up to that level to expand versus when you take on VC money. There is no stair step. It's just a big jump. And again, you can do that. You know, again, I work for a company, TrueFan, who also is a presenting sponsor on this show, who has raised VC money. And I think it's great. I know I'm having it inside of you and I'm watching them execute with that VC money and they're doing a really good job and they're doing things they wouldn't have been able to do without that VC money. So there isn't a right or wrong answer to should you bootstrap or should you take VC money. But I think that growing up in North America, living in North America now, kind of what is glorified is taking that VC money. And a lot of people don't think of that other model where they can just bootstrap and build the company themselves. You know, a great example of this, I believe Morning Brew was bootstrapped. I don't think they took VC money. I could be wrong on that, so someone fact check me. But like it is possible to do really well without VC funding. But again, like I said, with TrueFan, you can see the results of what VC funding can do. It can allow you to grow and allow you to scale your impact a lot quicker. So there isn't a right or wrong answer, but I just want to highlight the fact that bootstrapping is a legitimate option for you as an entrepreneur. Now, speaking of being an entrepreneur and being business minded, one of the other takeaways I had from my conversation with Alessandro was that as a creator, you need to be business minded. And where this came into the conversation was he was talking about how they've added an arm to their business. It's a small TikTok talent agency. And I was asking him, what do you look for in a creator? And he said, one of the biggest things I look for is a business mindset. You know, you need a creator who's doing this because they want it to be their job. They want this, they treat themselves and they're not themselves, but they treat their business. They treat their TikTok like a business. And that's important. You know, you don't want to have someone who's just missing deadlines and not taking things seriously. And, you know, and I've seen that, you know, to be completely candid on my side, granted, I've never done influencer marketing to the scale that Alessandro and his business have done, but I've done it to a smaller scale on my side, you know, with my job right now. And you see that, you know, I've had multiple creators who have signed contracts and then disappeared, who have asked, who we've agreed on contracts and never sent them back, who've booked calls with me and not showed up twice. Like you see that. And then that, you know, in those situations, most of the time we don't proceed with that creator. You know, we eventually it gets to a point where it's just like, it doesn't become worth the headache to work with that creator. So as a creator, you need to be business minded. You need to take things seriously if you want to work with brands. If you want it to be a hobby and you're not trying to make a ton of money, do whatever you want. But if you have the audacity as an individual to say, I want brands to pay me to post on my TikTok, you need to have, or my YouTube, you need to treat it like a business. Because once you start accepting money, it is a business. And not everyone realizes that. And so that's one of the biggest things that Alessandro looks for when it comes to signing creators to their TikTok talent agency. But I think that's a really important thing. And honestly, if we kind of extrapolate that and take it one step further beyond just brand deals, you need to treat yourself as a business if you're a creator and you want to make money in all aspects, not just in brand deals, in everything you do. You know, my friend Tom Boyd, who's been on this podcast in the past, really fun podcast, highly recommend you check it out after you listen to this one here. But he hosts his own podcast called Creators Are Brands. And the whole podcast is around the business of being a creator. And it is, you know, it's not just in how you work with brands. It's how you set up your operations as a creator, how you systemize what you're doing. If you have a team, how that works. Creators are brands now. And so you need to, as a creator, it's so vital if you want to be a business, if you want to make money as a creator, to focus on treating it like a business. And not everyone does. And I think that can hold a lot of creators back because creators are business at the end of the day. You know, we even talked about with Alessandro briefly how creators are launching their own products. They're co-branding with brands. They're asking for equity in companies. They're not just looking as an advertising machine. They're looking at themselves as a business. And when you look at yourself like a business, that opens the opportunity to make money in many different ways, as opposed to just the traditional CPM model. Now, the next point that I have here, so that was on the creator side. Now, if we go to the business side here, if you are going to run a campaign, an influencer marketing campaign, even just any marketing campaign in general, this is the number one thing you need to have. Maybe not the number one thing. This is the first thing you need if you want to have a successful campaign. The first thing that you need to do when you're setting up your campaign is to figure out what your goals for the campaign are. That is vital. Because if looking at it through the influencer marketing lens, based on my conversation with Alessandro, it's if you know what your goals are, what your KPIs are, you know what you're looking for in a creator, you know how to optimize that campaign. You know, if you know how much you're willing to pay per 1,000 views, if you know how much you're willing to pay for conversion, that will influence the type of creators you look for, the type of deals you strike, right? If you're looking for awareness, you're going to look for something different than if you're trying to do conversions. The creative will be different. The creators you partner with will be different. But if you don't know what you're trying to achieve with your campaign, then how do you expect to, you know, like how do you achieve your results without knowing what your results should be? Right? It's like, how do you drive somewhere without knowing where you're going? And that, I mean, that also applies to more than just marketing campaigns. That also applies to life. But you really need to take the time to figure that out. And now, to be fair, if you're setting up your first campaign, you might not know how to set those goals. And that's okay. I think you have to kind of, because with any marketing at all, you're going to have to run tests first. You know, you're probably going to lose some money in the beginning, no matter what marketing campaign you're doing, because you have to figure out what works. You have to run tests to figure out what kind of creators, what type of content works for the audience you're trying to reach. And you're not going to, and if you're coming in with a blank slate, you won't necessarily know. So you're going to have to do some testing and figure that out. And so that's an important part of the campaign, which kind of leads me to my next takeaway here, which is that there's no such thing as the word guarantee in marketing. Like, that should not be a part of your marketing vocabulary. You cannot guarantee anything. And Alessandro kind of went into that rant about the word guarantee when I asked him about like working with creators, like how closely can he predict the success of a campaign? He says he'll never guarantee the success of a campaign because you never know. You know, you might partner with like, and I even said on our side, like sometimes we work with creators we think are going to absolutely crush and it doesn't. And sometimes the creators were like, you know, let's just give it a shot. They do really well. You never, ever, ever know for 100% what's going to work and what's not. And so that's why testing is an important part of it, you know, and you'll figure out what's, you know, you'll get a better idea. But Alessandro said past success in marketing is no guarantee that it's going to work again. Again, there's that word guarantee, but that's one thing you need to be cognizant of. You know, you need to first identify what you're trying to achieve. And then you're going to have to test a lot to figure out what's going to work, what has a higher chance of working, and then double down on that, you know, and then you'll never get a guarantee that it's going to work. And you're never going to know, especially coming in, if you've never done it before, it's going to take some upfront time and money if you want it want to kind of get a handle on it. And in order to know what to optimize for, that brings us back to the beginning. You need to know what your goals are. You're not going to be able to improve your marketing if you don't know what you're improving for, what you're optimizing for. If you know you're optimizing for views, then maybe some of these smaller creators who aren't getting the views aren't the creators you need to be working with. Maybe you need to look at some of those bigger creators who are going to be a little bit more expensive, but because they're reaching more people, the CPM rates, you never know. Like, you just have to identify your KPIs, test a bunch, figure out what's working, optimize for that. But even once you optimize, understanding there is no guarantee. But one way that we can ideally improve the success of your campaign, and this is a quote from TikTok that I heard Alessandro say in another interview. He wanted to clarify to you on our podcast that he did not say this. This was in fact TikTok, but this is something that they kind of would share to brands that they find is very important when working with creators. And it's this quote here. It's just four words, and it's make TikToks, not ads. And I think that's so, so, so important. You know, as brands oftentimes, you know, they're protective of their brand and their brand image and their reputation, rightfully so. But at the same time, when you're working with a creator, the more creative freedom you can give them, the better the campaign should perform. No guarantees, but the better the campaign should perform, especially on a platform like TikTok. Because if you make an ad on TikTok that isn't authentic to that creator's feed, people aren't going to want to watch that video. They're going to swipe right past it. And the problem with TikTok, when it comes, not the problem, but the thing with TikTok, is that one of the most important metrics on TikTok is average watch time, AWT. How much of that video are people watching? TikTok likes it if people are watching your videos for 100% or more, because TikTok loops. So if somebody watches your video and then starts watching it again, that is over 100% average watch time or watch time. And so TikTok looks for a very high average watch time. And so if you give somebody an ad and you give them a script and what to say and how to say it and all this, that is completely inauthentic to their existing content, their audience isn't going to resonate with that video and they're not even going to watch it. And because they don't watch it, the average watch time of that video is going to be lower than their normal videos are. And because it's going to be lower, TikTok's going to say, no one's watching this video. We don't want to waste anyone's time. Don't show that video. So not only is the ad not going to resonate with the audience, but TikTok is going to identify the fact that it's not resonating with the audience and they're going to lower that reach. And if they lower that reach, that means the rates you paid that creator for are going to be higher than the performance of your video, not because the creator's content doesn't perform, but because the ad you asked them to create specifically isn't performing. So you need to make ads and not TikToks and give creators the freedom to make an ad that doesn't feel like an ad, that feels like a TikTok, that feels like something that should already be in their feed. And if you do that, again, no guarantees, but that should help to improve the success of your campaign. So remember, when it comes to influencer marketing, make TikToks, not ads. Now, the last takeaway here, kind of stepping back from influencer marketing here that I had from my conversation with Alessandro, was his definition of success and how it's changed over time. Because he said when he was growing up that his definition of success, you know, he wanted to be that next Silicon Valley luminary, you know, the guy who's raised hundreds of million dollars and has this massive company in the Valley. And it's changed now. He said, of course, like, money is still important to him and he wants to be successful kind of from the business side, and having his company do well is important to him. But how his definition has really changed is that now he wants a more, I don't know if balance is the right word, but balanced and happy life. You know, he doesn't want to be work, work, work. He doesn't want to get up at 6 a.m., work until 11 p.m. and go to sleep. You know, that's not what he wants. That's not what makes him the happiest. What makes him happy is having time to kind of unplug, unwind, rest. You know, we didn't get into this. Again, if we have another conversation with him on the podcast, we'll talk about, I always say we, because I don't want you to know that I'm not crazy. There's not multiple me's here. You and me, you know, you're very much a part of this podcast to me. So I want to make sure that when I'm talking, I say, when we'll have him back on the show, it's you and I. You know, you and I will get the opportunity to sit there and hear that conversation with Alessandro once again. I know you don't get to ask the questions, but to me, you are a very important part of that conversation. You're sitting there listening to the entire thing. So that's why I say we. I just caught myself and I always want to address that on here, but I never do. So I just want to let you know that when I say, when we'll have him back on the show, that's you and I. But when we do have him back on the podcast, it's one thing, is talking about how important mental health is to him, not only for himself, but for his whole team, you know. And his definition of happiness has changed. It's now about living a little bit more, again, I don't know if balance is the right word, but a life that's not all work and optimizing for happiness. Because what's the point in, you know, are you successful if you grow a big company and you hate every minute of it? Seriously, think about that. Like, are you successful if you have $100 million in the bank and you're sad? Or would you rather be that? Would you rather have $100 million? Obviously not in the bank, because if you have $100 million, you know you're investing it, whatever. But if you have $100 million and you're sad, Would you rather have $1 million and be stoked? You know, I would have rather have $1 million to be stoked. And, you know, I often ask myself that question. You know, I'm always worried about like, oh, I missed out on like NFTs, or I missed this, or I should have put money here, and I need to be making more money, and da da da. But it's like, what for? You know what I mean? Like, what do I need all of this extra money for? And that's a question I've really started asking myself. You know, I keep saying I need money, I need to do this, but like, why? Why? You should focus on, you know, I've heard a lot of people recently, and this keeps coming up, but I don't know why as much as it has been recently, just in the videos I've been watching, but people saying like, when you get that success, you don't feel different. You know, you feel the same just with more money in your bank account. Like, all the problems you have don't go away when you get an extra comma on your balance statement or in your bank account. All your problems are still there. So you need to work on being happy now before you make the money. Because once you get the money, then it's going to create even more problems and more expectations and more pressure and more stress. And so if you don't have a system in place now to balance, to deal with the shit you've got going on and become happy now, it's honestly probably going to get worse when you make money. Might make more money. And so the big thing now is to make sure you're happy where you're at now, and always make sure that that's a big factor for who you are and what you're doing. Because if you're not happy now, again, you're not going to be happy later. You need to address those things. So your definition of success in Alessandro's right now is, of course, having his business do well is important to him, but he also wants to make sure he's happy. And I want you to make sure you're happy too. But speaking of being happy, I'm very happy that you stuck through to the end of this podcast. That's a terrible transition. I apologize for that. But whether you listen the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces, I really appreciate you taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and check out Alessandro. Go and check out the Influencer Marketing Factory. I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. They also recently launched a brand new podcast. So if you want to check that out as well, I'll make sure it's linked down there for you. But other than that, if you want to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at The Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. And make sure, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Put a brand new interviews every single Monday, and a brand new takeaways episode, audio exclusive like this, where I sit down and break down those recent podcast episodes of the week every single Thursday. And one last thing. If you enjoyed this podcast or you enjoyed my interview with Alessandro, make sure to leave us a positive rating and review. Really helps with the show. And share this episode with one friend. Just one friend. That's all I'm asking. One person who you think would enjoy this podcast. But in that, thank you once again so much for taking time to listen to this. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.